This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Axeman Werebear. Written by T.S. Joyce. Performed by Mackenzie Hart. Chapter 1. Bruiser Keller flipped off a happy-looking pair of red foxes that dashed across the road in front of his clunker pickup truck. That would never be him, grinning from ear to ear, chasing a girl, and hoping she liked him as much as he liked her. Hell, even if he'd been interested in that, it was off the table now since he'd made a deal with Damon Day, owner of the land he and the Ash crew felled trees on. Yet another lovey-dovey romance crooner belted out from the radio, and Bruiser retracted his middle finger for the foxes and gripped the steering wheel. He would have to ignore the pimply teenager singing about finding his one true love, since it was the only station he got way out here in the Wyoming mountains around the Ashland Mobile Park he called home. He couldn't drive without music, or his mood would plummet even more, thanks to his inner grizzly pissing and moaning about trapping him in an airplane for the flight back from Colorado. The worst part? Normally, he was a happy person. He used his happiness as a weapon to annoy the ball sacks off his crew. Damon Day had done this. Made him grumpy as a bear waking up from hibernation. No, scratch that. Damon Day's daughter and Bruiser's future wife was to blame for this one. He hadn't even met the damned woman, but if her father had to push this hard to play matchmaker from his mansion in the mountains, and if he thought a lumberjack werebear who lived in a trailer park was the perfect mate for his only daughter, well then, she was probably hideous. Not that Bruiser really cared, but damn it, he'd started changing over the past months about wanting to settle down. He'd started warming to the idea, as the Ash crew had coupled up, one by one, with phenomenal women who brought the old trailer park to life and gave him and the other boys purpose. Brooke, Skylar, Danielle, and Everly had become the heart and soul of the crew, turning their mates from beer-chugging, half-crazed, careless idiots to real men. And Bruiser had begun to think he wanted something like that. He wanted someone to make him want to be better. To make him want to be more. Strangling the steering wheel, he jerked his attention back to the radio. That prick kid was now singing the word love in the longest note ever heard. Slamming on his brakes, Bruiser lurched forward as his truck skidded sideways. He came to a rocking stop and scrabbled with the edge of the stereo he'd put in a few summers back. It wasn't enough to turn the damn thing down anymore. Not when the kid singer had decided to repeat the word love in the same annoyingly long vibrato note as before. Ugh! He yelled as he pulled the radio free. Before he could get a grip on his raging emotions, he pulled the still singing contraption until the wires snapped. Then rolled down the passenger window and chucked it out. Guilt washed over him at what a litterbug asshole he'd turned into, so he swung out of the truck with some choice words for the next DJ who dared to play a love song on this station. Then he slid down the hill he'd tossed his radio down and retrieved it like a good little fetch bear. Today sucked. Tegan was going to kill him when he found out about the deal he'd made with the scary-ass monster who was cutting their checks every week. Men like Damon Day were best kept at a safe distance, not made into a father-in-law. Bruiser turned onto a switchback and wound his way through a mountain pass. Beetle-infested evergreen forests covered this land, but right now he couldn't see more than a blurry green and brown smear out of side windows as he sped past, trailing a plume of travel grit behind his back tires. He was too stuck in the muck of what he'd agreed to. Arranged marriages for survival of the species had been normal a couple hundred years ago, but these days, it was more accepted to choose a mate. Human or shifter, it didn't much matter what the choice was, as long as it was for love. Love. Bruiser blasted a snort. He'd dumped himself back into the dark ages with this little arrangement. Brooke, Tegan's mate, waved to him as he drove through the Ashland Mobile Park. Her belly was round as a full moon with the cub she was carrying. Any day now, the Ash crew was going to have a little one. Warmth trickled from his fingers gripping the steering wheel to his work boot-clad heels resting on the floorboard. At least he hadn't missed Tegan's cub being born. He'd come back from Breckenridge as soon as he was able to get away, hoping he would be here for the birth. It wasn't every day a crew got a new cub, and this one was special. Shifters didn't breed easily. He gave her a smile and whistled as he rolled down the window. "Looking good, Mama." "Oh, please. My ankles are so swollen, it looks like I got snake bit," she called, cupping a steaming mug. On the breeze, he could smell the sweet scent of hot chocolate. "Nothing sexier than a woman with chubby feet," he called out as he rolled by. "Flatterer," Brooke tilted her chin up, her blonde hair whipping in the breeze. "It's good to have you home." He gave her a two-fingered wave. She wouldn't think that for long, not when she found out about the deal he'd made. Damon Day's daughter was about to rattle this whole trailer park in ways that would affect the easy pattern of life around here. Bruiser gritted his teeth and sped up at the straightaway. Another 15 minutes of regretting what he'd done to that poor stereo and driving over pothole-riddled dirt roads toward the landing where the ash crew worked, and he was sweating bullets. Maybe he could get a good day of work in and tell Tegan about it tomorrow. Tegan stood on the landing with Dennison and Skyler, but when Bruiser pulled his truck into the parking area, his alpha looked up and narrowed his eyes. "Shit," he muttered, turning off the engine. Tegan's dark eyebrows arched high, and his eyes blazed that bright blue that made it hard to look him in the face when he was mad enough. Like now.
"Can I talk to you?"
"Sure, I'm ready for work. You want to do this now or later?"
"Now, asshole.
Skyler, can you oversee the crew for a bit?" Skyler twitched her head at an angle and blinked, a gesture of curiosity for falcon shifters such as herself, then nodded and murmured, "You got it, boss."
Tegan led him up the mountain on a trail that didn't exist. The deeper he led Bruiser into the trees, the bigger the weight of dread that fell across his shoulders.
"You want to tell me what's going on now?" Tegan said, spinning on his heel and crossing his arms over his chest. "Because you sure as shit didn't give an explanation when you blasted out of here on your way to Colorado. And I just fielded a call from Damon Day, asking me to officiate a wedding between you and his daughter." His voice dipped to a whisper. "What the fuck, man? I didn't even know what to say. Is this something you want?"
No. But it's something that needs to happen, because that's the deal I made with Damon to save my brothers."
Tegan puffed air out of his cheeks and shook his head as if he didn't know what to do with this information.
"Explain." "My half-brothers live up in Breckenridge, where I'm from, and some government agency was pressing on them hard."
"IESA?" Tegan asked, his eyebrows furrowing lower.
"Yeah, how'd you know?"
"Because that Kruger prick has been keeping tabs on this crew for years. Jed dealt with him before I became Alpha, and now that falls to me. So far, he's only made empty threats, but that'll be a problem eventually."
"No, he won't."
"Why?"
Bruiser lowered his voice to a whisper and stepped closer.
"Because Damon Day ate him."
Tegan's face went comically blank.
"Like, just ate him?"
"Yeah.
No more Kruger. IESA was after my family, and it was bad. They pushed my half-brothers too far, and they buckled against orders. I knew it was coming eventually, and Cody, Alpha of the Breck crew, called me and told me what was happening right before they pushed back. I had to help."
"So you asked Damon Day to help you. Obviously, you know what kind of shifter he is, right? And you still wanted to swap favors?" Bruiser sighed and ran his hands through his hair.
"Look, Damon has been circling me for years. I don't know why. And this isn't the first time a pairing with his daughter has been brought up.
But why you?"
"Fuck if I know, man. I'm nobody. A tree-cutting bear shifter. A bastard son of an alpha who couldn't keep his dick in his pants. My old single wide ain't exactly the type of palace his daughter is used to, if you know what I mean."
Tegan rubbed his forehead as if he was staving off a headache.
"Bruiser, this feels all wrong. How's a pairing gonna work between you two? Have you even met her before? Because I haven't.
and I'm the damn go-between for this crew and Damon.
Throat tightening, Bruiser shook his head for fear of his voice cracking.
So we're doing this like the old days? Sight unseen? Getting you hitched and hoping the shit doesn't hit the fan? Because I have to tell you, she's going to be terrifying when she's angry. Terrifying and deadly.
Tegan, if it was your family, and you knew a way to help them, to save them, what would you have done?
His alpha shoulders sagged as his eyes took on a faraway look through the trees. At last he muttered,
I would have made the same deal.
Let me tell the crew tonight over dinner, Bruiser pleaded. I want to break it to them gently. Right now, all I want to do is try to get us back on track to chop the lumber Damon has asked for and meet this deadline. I know my leaving like that put us way behind.
Yeah, okay.
Are you going to tell them what she is?
I don't know.
Probably.
Tegan scrunched up his nose.
He ate Kruger.
Bruiser nodded slowly and clapped Tegan on the back.
Maybe if we're lucky, Damon will change his mind. Or he'll at least give us some time to adjust to the idea of keeping her at the trailer park.
Bruiser could only hope for more time, because right now, he was remembering all the IESA agents Damon had demolished with little effort. If DM Day was anything like her father, she was about to light the damn trailer park up, and the Ash crew along with it.
Chapter 2
DM Day bit the edge of her thumbnail as she stared out the window of the heavily tinted car. The driver, Mason, glanced at her in the rearview mirror for the 10th time since they'd left the house. Usually, he was nearly as stoic as her father, but today, traces of worry darkened his eyes. Father patted her leg from the seat beside her and she jumped. He never touched her. Touch was a no-no for her kind. Or at least, that's what Father had instilled in her since birth.
Everything will be okay, he murmured, his silvery eyes tight as he brushed his fingers through the sides of his dark hair.
If she didn't know any better, she'd say Father was nervous, but that was impossible. Emotions were forbidden.
What's going on? She asked.
Father inhaled deeply and looked out the other window, refused to answer.
Shocker.
Maybe he would have tried harder at the conversation if she was one of her half-brothers. She was just a woman, though. Nothing more than a breeder. That thought left a sour feeling in her stomach. DM clenched her hands in her lap, but Father looked at them and frowned.
None of that, love. Have some pride in what you are, and control your emotions.
How many times had she heard that in her 25 years? Probably about a billion. He called it controlling her emotions. She called it maintaining her constant bitch face, a practice that hadn't gained her any friends in college. But Father was unconcerned with such things. Above everything, she had to act her station and cast away those pestering emotions she'd inherited from her mother. Father hated that she was harder to train than her half-brothers.
You're female. You're expendable.
Closing her eyes against the onslaught of those unsettling thoughts, she clenched her hands again, only to be scolded once more by Father. She was terrible at this, always had been. Probably always would be. As Mason pulled them into a dirty, makeshift parking lot, DM craned her neck and tried to get a glimpse of the mysterious lumberjack crew who was helping Father manage the land he so loved. He talked about them, almost as if they were his sons, and she felt like she knew each of them already. Tegan, the alpha of this crew of bear shifters. Kellen, his second. Then Dennison, Brighton, Bruiser, Hayden, and Drew. And if Father's mutterings were correct, several of the shifters had picked up mates in recent months. DM ran her father's books and handled many of his business affairs. She was good with numbers, and he trusted her more and more with his work as he got older. This morning, he'd given her the shock of a lifetime when he told her she would meet the Ash crew today. He'd said it was so she could get an up-close look at the logging side of the mountains. He told her it would be good for her to meet the men who worked so hard for them. She'd be lying if she didn't say she was ridiculously curious about the simple lives of these men. Mason put the car in park and got out, then opened her door.
She waited patiently as he opened the door for her father. From where she stood, she could see the massive equipment. From 10 minutes of research this morning, she could identify the Titan machine settled on the edge of a cleared flat area with a long arm for trimming logs as a processor. A skyline dove from the ancient tree it was tied to, all the way down the slope of the mountain the ash crew was clearing. The throaty sound of working machinery filled the air, and she coughed delicately at the scent of gasoline and oil. "This way," Father said, barely brushing his fingers against the lower curve of her back. 2 touches in 1 day. This had to be a record. "Better watch it, Father, or you'll be hugging me like a simpleton in no time." Father yanked his hand away from her and narrowed his eyes. "It seems I forgot myself for a moment. Forgive me." It was a joke. One wasted on him, since he didn't seem to have a mind for humor, and he seemed to despise that she, on occasion, did. Father walked primly in front of her, clad in stiff, dark dress slacks, a matching jacket, and highly polished shoes. Against the backdrop of the 2 yellow hard hat-wearing men who stood near one of the machines, he looked utterly out of place. One of the men turned wary eyes on them, as if he'd heard their approach from all the way over there. His eyes were a blazing blue color that looked alluring and dangerous all at once. "Tegan," Father greeted him. "So nice to see you again." Tegan's eyes tightened at the corners. "Is it?" Father gave him a cold, warning look, one DM had received many times in her youth. "Careful now. This wasn't your choice. It was his." "No, he agreed to it. He didn't seek out this deal. Is this her?" Father gestured her forward, and DM frowned at the confusing way they spoke to each other. "Tegan, Alpha of the Ash Crew, this is my only daughter, DM. I trust you with her safety." "Her safety on the job site? Okay. But she was only supposed to be here an hour to see how things worked." God, Father was so overprotective. She tried to mentally fan the heat in her cheeks as she shook Tegan's calloused hand. "Where is he?" Father asked. DM pulled her hand from Tegan's and stared at a dirt smudge across her palm. Wiping the dust off, she asked, "Where is who?" "Horace Keller." Tegan's smile was void of humor. "He goes by Bruiser, and if you keep calling him Horace, he's likely to revolt on you. Best not test him. He's been in a foul mood since he came back from Colorado. Can't imagine why." "Horace is a fine name, a respectable one, one passed down from his ancestors." "Damon," Tegan gritted out. "Bring him up. My daughter is ready." Tegan's dark eyebrows arched high. "Ready as in, you want to do this right now?" He made a show of looking around the metal-cluttered clearing. "Here? I have the paperwork in order and I'll be here as a witness." Father, what's going on? Warning bells had been blaring in her head since Horace Keller's name had entered the conversation. It sounded so familiar. "Please tell me you've at least talked to her about this," Tegan said, words growing growlier by the second. DM shook her head, baffled. "Told me what?" Father's eyes had completely shut down. Not a muscle twitched in his face as he stared blankly at Tegan. The bright-eyed Alpha turned to her and said, "You're getting married today. Didn't you know? Your father made a deal with one of my crew members, and you are the spoils." Her mouth dropped open with questions. She was too shocked to string together coherently. "What?" She swung her gaze to Father, who was now meeting her eyes just fine. "Please tell me what he's saying isn't true."
"It's time."
"Time? Father, you can't be serious. This is your idea of joking, right?"
"I've put it off as long as I was comfortable with, but you are of an age where it is time to fulfill your duty. Our survival depends on it."
"Our survival? Our survival?" She screamed the last part, sure, but the words he was saying were lies. He meant his survival. She was as good as dead now. "Please don't do this. Not now. Give me more time. A few years,
and then I'll marry who you wish, or let me get to know him first and see if he is right for me.
Enough. Father swung his attention to Tegan. Can you excuse us? My daughter has forgotten her place.
Tegan's eyes went round.
Okay.
He blinked slowly and began to back away, but paused.
You know, Mr. Day, if someone ever told my mate she'd forgotten her place, I imagine Brooke would shred that person and squat on their carcass. How you talk to women in your family is your own business, but in front of me, that shit doesn't fly.
You sure have grown bold since I last saw you, Father growled out.
I don't like what's being done here, and I sure as hell don't like performing ceremonies that tether two people together who don't want to be tethered. I'm aware of how it is done in the old days, but my crew is different. We mate for love, and we mate for life.
Father yanked Diem's arm and led her away from Tegan.
Touch number three for the day, and lucky fucking her.
So you're ready for me to die? You're that tired of me?
Some emotion she didn't recognize slashed across Father's normally cold features. This has nothing to do with that, and you know it. You've been told what your duties would entail from the day you were born, DM. I stalled this for 4 years so you could attend your schooling, work, and feel like you've led a full life. You're lucky you don't have to find love like these lesser shifters. Love is dangerous and bloody, and it brings destruction in its wake. Love is what killed our kind.
What does that mean?
Her voice had wrenched up to a yell, but screw it all. Father was trying to marry her off to a stranger.
You are the last of us,
Father hissed out, a long, unsettling growl rattling from his chest. No, I'm not. You're still here. Your sons are still here.
Your half-brothers haven't bred successfully. The genetic pool for them doesn't exist for viable offspring. You're our last hope.
You mean I'm the last sacrifice?
She hated the defeat that was spreading through her chest, filling her with loss. If she'd had any question before about her value, it was put to rest now. She wasn't worth anything more than her ability to breed.
Tears streamed down her face, and Father frowned in disapproval. Let him. She and her untidy emotions wouldn't be his problem much longer.
Fine. Good girl.
She swallowed down bile at such a backhanded compliment, the only ones he seemed capable of giving.
Now, Father said, straightening his spine, go freshen your face. Today is the most honorable day of your life.
Yes, sir, she muttered bitterly. Seated in the car again, she slammed the door beside her and let the sob sitting in her throat escape. Her life was over. And even worse than that, she'd never had a breakthrough with Father. He'd never learned to show her that she pleased him or that he cared about her. He remained just as cold from the moment she'd been born to the moment he'd ordered her death sentence.
Mason made to get out of the car, but she asked,
Did you know?
With a sigh, he settled back behind the wheel and nodded, eyes on his clasped hands in his lap. She looked down in dismay at her starched black business suit, fitting for a funeral.
And you couldn't warn me? I was walking into an arranged marriage?
Mason shook his head. He'd been her bodyguard in college, hired by Father to keep the human interaction down to a minimum. She'd grown to trust him over the years, but this was a monumental betrayal.
I packed a bag for you, he whispered. It's in the trunk.
Are you here to witness?
No.
His tone turned to that of disgust.
To do so would say I support this, and I don't. Boar shifters, like bear shifters, mate for love. I know it is different for your kind, but you, DM, are different too.
Try to find solace in your mate. Give him a chance.
She huffed a humorless laugh.
What's the point of that, Mason? You know what'll happen. What's the point in getting close to someone at the end?
Mason shrugged miserably and got out of the car. When his door was closed, DM's shoulders sagged, and she stared out the window at the ash crew as they crested the top of the hill together. She was going to be a part of them for a short while. For some reason, That thought made her even sadder. The last over the ridge was a man who was larger than the rest. His shoulders were broad, straining against the sweat-dampened white T-shirt he wore. His eyes were intense and dark, and the short hair that stuck out from under his yellow hard hat was dark to match. Cords of muscle delved from under his jaw, down through his neck, and into a defined line between his stony pecs. His waist tapered into a V-shape, and whole riddled jeans clung to his powerful legs. Scuffed work boots kicked up swirls of dust as he strode after his crew. She couldn't tell from here if he was handsome or not, because of the unhappiness etched into his face. If she'd had any question before now about him being Bruiser, her betrothed, well, that disappeared the second he threw his hard hat against the processor. The word, fuck, echoed off the mountain a moment later, and she couldn't help the tiny smile that took her lips. He didn't want this any more than she did, and that made the situation a little better. Maybe they could find common ground by loathing her father together. Ripping her gaze away from the rugged stranger, she opened a mirror she kept in her purse and blotted her eyes dry with a tissue. And like she'd done 1,000 times before, she composed her face to look just like her lineage required. She wiped all emotion clear, leaving only the dispassionate blank slate she hated most. Today was her wedding day, the most important day of a dragon's life. Chapter 3. Bruiser was about 30 seconds away from an uncontrolled change. His body was practically humming with his need to escape what was happening. He thought Damon Day would give him a couple of days before he pushed his daughter onto him, but nope. 6 hours after he'd arrived home from Colorado, and here the man was, collecting his due. Damon stood at the edge of the tree line, hands clasped in front of him, chin lifted high and proud, dark hair gone a regal gray at the temples. His dark suit looked hot as hell on this Wyoming summer day. "Well," Bruiser said, holding his hands up. "Where is she?" "Good," Damon said with the only smile the man seemed to be able to manage, an empty one. "You're in a hurry to marry her." "Or in a hurry to get this done with before I change my mind and you eat me." "I don't understand any of this," Dennison muttered, helping his mate Danielle over a felled log. "Can someone explain this to me? Because last I heard, Bruiser wasn't keen on taking a mate. And from the way he's been cursing for the last 5 minutes straight, it seems he still isn't." "I told you I would be the witness," Damon said to Tegan. "Yeah, well, if I'm getting myself hitched, my crew is going to witness this little train wreck too," Bruiser said, matching Damon's cold smile. "They're family, you see, and this little ceremony says she's going to be part of this family too. What's her name, by the way?" Drew guffawed as his shoulder-length blonde Viking-looking hair waved in the wind. "You don't even know her name? Bruiser, come on, man. This is some bullshittery, and you know it." "Whatever," Bruiser grumbled. "You look like Fabio." "Thank you," Drew said through a flattered smile. "The dick." "DM," a soft voice sounded from behind him. Bruiser turned and froze. The woman was not at all what he'd expected of the dragon's daughter. She was shorter than he'd imagined, and her hair was raven's feather black. Her eyes were as dead as her father's, but the color was that of fine whiskey. There were no frown lines or smile lines, nothing that told him if she laughed easily. Her skin was creamy and smooth like porcelain, as if she'd never been out in the sun a day in her life. The curve of her full lips showed no passion as she studied him in turn. Straightening to his full height, Bruiser cleared his throat. "You aren't hideous." "Thank you." DM dragged her gaze down to his chest, then back up to his eyes. "Neither are you." "This is so romantic," Danielle squealed from beside Dennison. "Seriously?" Drew muttered, ruffling her hair. "Let's get this over with," DM said in an empty tone. Worry slithered through Bruiser's gut. She wasn't like the other women in the Ash Crew. She seemed disconnected from everything, like Damon. As if the chip
that allowed her to feel anything had been turned off. He hadn't any expectations about a marriage like this, but he would have rather Diem been plain and warm than beautiful and cold.
"Can I talk to you before we do this?" he asked low.
"I don't think that's a good idea."
Bruiser grabbed her hand before he could talk himself out of it and pulled her toward his truck. She allowed it, and she could pretend she was unaffected all she wanted, but her hand was just as shaky as his.
"Look, Bruiser, I'm sorry," he rushed out.
She skidded to a stop and blinked her eyes wider.
"What? Why?"
"Because this is my doing. I made a deal with your dad, and it was bullshit of me to do it without seeing what you thought of all this."
"Oh, it doesn't matter what I think."
Bruiser took a step back. Her words stung like a slap.
"Of course it does. It's going to be me and you now. And your dad and I didn't include you in this decision. I fucked up. And now we're both in this position that I shouldn't have ever..."
"What kind of deal did you make for me?"
Bruiser opened his mouth, then closed it, surprised at the turn in conversation.
"I asked your dad to help me save my half-brothers, their mates, and their kids from IESA.
Diem's dark and elegant eyebrow twitched. "The International Exchange of Supernatural Affairs was after your family?"
"Well," Bruiser jerked his head, "they're kind of my family. It's a long story. Look, I couldn't save them on my own, and I got desperate, and you were made part of the deal. It was wrong, and I don't know how to fix it."
"That's better."
"What do you mean?"
he asked suspiciously.
"At least I'm being given away, for a good reason. Is your family safe?"
"The Ash crew is more my family, more than the Brett crew, but yeah, they are safe."
"Because of this deal?"
"Yeah."
"Okay, then ask me."
Her face was still stoic, her lips barely moving as she talked.
"Ah, shit. Okay."
Bruiser ran his hands through his cropped hair as if that would fix it after sweating under a hard hat all day. With a steadying breath, he knelt on one knee and ignored Danielle, Skylar, and Everly's "aww" in unison.
"Diem Day."
What was he supposed to say to a stranger?
"I know we didn't get here through conventional ways, but I'm in this. I'll protect you with my life and keep a roof over your head. A shitty trailer roof with leaks in it, but it's still a roof, and you won't go cold or hungry a day in your life. Everything that I have will be yours. I'll never let anyone hurt you. Will you marry me?"
Sadness washed through the clear brown of her eyes for a moment before she replaced it with a blank stare again.
"You'll be the one to hurt me, Bruiser, but I'd rather it be you than anyone else.
Yes, I'll marry you. I'm in this too."
Her words bothered him, not just because they were monotone and unfeeling, but because she'd said he would hurt her, and he sure as shit would never hurt a woman.
"I now pronounce you man and wife," Tegan said. Startled, Bruiser jumped up and twisted around. Tegan was leaned up against the back of the truck, looking as unhappy as Bruiser felt right now.
"Sign the paperwork Mr. Day has so generously drawn up, and then we're cutting out early."
He turned his glare on Damon and said,
"I'm sure you won't mind us leaving before daylight is done today, seeing as how we have your daughter's wedding reception to throw together. You're welcome to come."
Tegan's tone said he wasn't welcome at all.
"I'd rather he not,"
DM said as she scribbled her name on the marriage certificate in angry, scrawled letters.
"His determination to give me away says I'm Bruiser's now, not his."
"Well, it's not like I own you," Bruiser stumbled out, but one icy look from DM had him shutting his pie hole real quick. The low rumbling sound that said Damon Day was losing his patience rattled out, vibrating against Bruiser's skin and electrifying the hairs on his forearms. When he listened closer, it seemed part of that sound was coming from his new bride.
Oh, damn. DM was scary and hot.
"As you wish," Damon said with a curt nod, then turned on his fancy heel and strode toward the pristine car waiting for him. He stood by as the driver struggled to pull a large suitcase from the trunk. When the luggage was settled in the dirt, Damon gave Bruiser a dead-eyed look and said, "Congratulations to the both of you." Posture ramrod straight, he tapped his foot
as he waited for his door to be opened. The entire ash crew watched the car pull away in stunned silence. Bruiser pressed the paperwork against the side of his truck, then signed it, shocked that he'd really gone through with this. He was a married man. Tegan slid him a sad shake of his head, then said, "You can kiss your bride now." DM's breath hitched, and she froze. "Now? In front of everyone?" Bruiser frowned and lowered his voice. "Haven't you kissed a man before?"
"Have you met my father?"
Bruiser snorted a laugh. Now that was funny right there. He could see her point. Damon was a freaking dragon shifter, and about the scariest man he'd ever had the non-pleasure of meeting. Damon was probably still digesting the leader of IESA. So yeah, any boys trying to get in his daughter's pants would have been strictly dealt with. But she'd said the joke in that emotionless voice of hers. "I can't tell if you're kidding." She cast the tiniest eye roll he'd ever seen from a woman and huffed a sigh. "If we must do this, let's get it over with." She apparently wasn't one for romance, and he couldn't figure out if he liked that because he was going to save money on buying her flowers over the years, or if he hated it because she was ripping the fun out of being with a woman. "Right. Kiss her, kiss her," Drew chanted. "Shut up," Bruiser ordered before the others caught on. It had been a few months since he'd kissed anyone, and he'd definitely never been a woman's first. He flared his nostrils, inhaling her scent to commit it to memory. Vanilla and fruit shampoo and something tangy. She was his now, for better or worse. Drawing up in front of DM, he pushed her long, dark hair over her shoulder and cupped her cheek. Her chest heaved, and her eyes widened slightly at his touch, proof that she wasn't made of stone. Her lips parted as he leaned forward. Bruiser closed his eyes at the last moment and pressed his lips onto hers. He could have pulled away immediately, should have maybe, but her lips softened against his. Fingers in her hair, he drew even closer to her. Where he'd expected her to be cold because of the creature that dwelled inside of her, she was warm instead. Inviting, enticing, and intriguing, and she smelled so damn good. He brushed his tongue along the closed seam of her mouth, asking gently. As she opened her mouth slightly, her body lost some of its rigidity against him, and he lifted his other hand to her other cheek as she became precious to him. Slipping his tongue against hers for the first time, he tasted her, and all the fear and tension left his shoulders. God, this was amazing. She jerked back. "Stop," she said on a breath. "Stop, stop, stop. Something's... that feels... just stop." "Okay," he said, disappointed that she was shrinking away from his touch. The crew was clapping and whistling, and it was nice of them to do so, considering what this was. A forced pairing. DM shrugged her shoulders up to her earlobes and dropped her gaze, which was strange that she'd make a submissive gesture when he knew the animal inside of her was much scarier than any grizzly or falcon that made up the ash crew. The mysteries around DM Day were piling up by the second. Without another word, she wove through the gathered crowd, dodging hugs and claps on her back, and made her way toward the lonely suitcase sitting in the dirt. Bruiser jogged to catch up, determined to help her carry the gargantuan luggage. "Don't," she snapped when he reached for the handle. "Why?" "Because I'm sick of everyone doing everything for me." "Okay," he drawled out, frowning so deep it hurt his face. "I won't help unless you ask for it." Her face smoothed to look glass-like once again. "Thank you. Which one is your car?"
"Ain't no cars here, D."
"DM." He mirrored her empty smile.
"I like pet names."
"I'm not your pet."
"But if you were," Dennison hollered across the clearing, damn as good hearing, "what kind of pet might you be?"
"Denny, not now," Bruiser called back.
"Because I saw your pupils go all weird shape like our pet goat Bo. So are you a goat shifter?"
"What? No," DM shouted with an offended snort. "I'm a dragon." Dennison's single laugh cracked
and echoed off the mountains.
Okay, but really. So, like, a cat or something? He muttered.
Do tigers have those weird-shaped pupils? As an aside to Danielle.
Or a snake? He yelled.
DM just stared at Dennison. But hell if Bruiser was going to explain away his crew's inappropriate questions. It was only going to get worse the better they got to know her. He gave them a month tops before they were charting her damned menstrual cycle. She had to learn how to ignore them, or she was going to lead a very unpleasant life in the Ashland Mobile Park. He pointed to the mud-covered truck they'd been married next to.
That one's mine.
Ours, he corrected himself with a shake of his head. This was going to take some getting used to. DM's eyes tightened ever so slightly.
You don't approve?
It's a shit wagon. Don't talk about my truck like that. She up and give me a flat this week if you keep busting on her like that. And she's not a shit wagon. Never once has she stalled out or got bogged down while we were mudding. That highfalutin city car you drove in on wouldn't last a day out here.
Please, she muttered. It made it here, didn't it?
Here isn't the final destination, Dee. Ashland Mobile Park is, and we have a shit ton of washed-out mountain roads and switchbacks to navigate to get there. If your fancy-dancy driver tried to maneuver your snob-mobile all the way down, you'd go over the cliff, be a little splat on the rocks below.
DM ignored him as she stumbled toward his awesome wagon, heels rolling at almost a 90-degree angle on the rocks.
I hope you pack tennis shoes, because those pretty spikes you're wearing are sexy as hell, but they aren't going to work where we're going.
They weren't even working here, and the ground was relatively even.
Do you always talk this much?
Yes.
Fantastic, she muttered. And I have no idea what is packed for me since I didn't pack my suitcase.
You had someone else pack it for you?
I didn't know until we got here that I wasn't going back home. Mason, my driver/bodyguard, packed it.
Wait, your bodyguard packed your underwear and everything?
Panties and, I suppose. Something green and ugly ignited in his stomach.
You don't mind your driver touching your intimates?
Wait. Bruiser tugged her arm until she turned her dead gaze on him.
Do you have feelings for him? Please tell me I didn't come between you and someone you actually cared for.
What? No. He's a boar shifter.
Like that explained anything away.
And?
And he's twice my age.
Age is just a number, he said, wanting to know for sure.
Her delicate nostrils flared as she inhaled deeply. I don't have feelings for anyone. Not a single person on this earth. That's how it is with my kind. So don't expect me to moon over you. No, you didn't come between me and some one true love. You only came between me and my freedom.
Whoa, what those words did to his middle. His guts burned as he swallowed her detached admission.
I didn't mean to steal your freedom. I just wanted to help my family.
I know.
She tried and tried again to heft the suitcase into the bed of the truck, failing until her arms looked shaky.
Can I help now?
He asked, leaning against the side. DM blew a damp strand of her hair out of her face and conceded.
Fine.
Maybe if you hadn't called her names, my truck would be kinder to you, he said through a hidden grin as he lowered the tailgate.
Well, that's handy, she muttered, lifting the suitcase into the back on the first try this time.
He tried to open her door for her, but she glared at him. At least, he thought she did. Her face didn't really change. So he threw his hands up in surrender and muttered,
"Don't breathe fire on me."
Then he jogged around the front of his truck and settled behind the wheel.
"I don't breathe fire."
Bullshit. I watched Damon burn an entire clearing a few days ago.
My father can. I'm not a full dragon. My mother was a bear. I don't have the fire, and neither do my half-brothers, who are also part bear.
Bruiser swung a shocked gaze to her.
You're half bear?
My mother was a black bear. Father got lucky that I was born with his shifter instead of hers.
Wow.
He blinked back his surprise and turned the engine.
I never in a million years would have guessed Damon would fall for a black bear.
He seems so uptight.
He didn't fall for my mother. I told you, we don't do love. He paid her lots of money to breed with her, and she left 2 days after I was born, much richer for having known my father. She was a paid broodmare. Nothing more and nothing less.
That's really fucked up, he muttered, pulling around Dennison's bronco. No wonder you don't believe in love.
It's not about believing in it, you silly man. Dragons just don't feel like lesser shifters do. Love doesn't exist for us.
Lesser shifters? Like bears? Like half the blood running through your veins? And before you get all high and mighty with me, know that my mother was a dragon.
Oh, she whispered. I'm sorry.
What are you apologizing for?
Because she died.
Bruiser's heart rate kicked up to a gallop, his chest thumping painfully. What do you mean?
You killed her. He cast her a horror-filled glance to see if what she said was some sick joke, but she stared blankly ahead, as if the words that had tumbled from her mouth wasn't akin to knives against his soul.
Are you always like this?
Like what? She asked in that echoing, empty voice of hers.
Are you so dead inside that you can say things like that? And not regret your words when you hurt people?
They weren't meant to hurt you, Bruiser. Tell me I'm wrong and I'll apologize. Did you kill your mother?
He swallowed hard and concentrated on not steering them over the steep embankment that lined the gravel road that would lead them back to the trailer park.
Out of the side of his vision, he could see her staring at him, awaiting an answer.
Yeah, he said. I was born, and she died having me. So, I guess I killed her.
Diem nodded once, as if she'd won. And it was in this moment that Bruiser realized maybe he couldn't warm Diem up or show her what it was like to care for someone. Not if her heart had already grown irreversibly cold. Chapter 4 Diem wished she could take the words back. She'd put them out there to punish Bruiser for winning her as a favor, to hurt him for what he would do to her. But when she'd said he had killed his mother and then watched his handsome face melt with devastation, she'd almost gotten sick in the cab of his crappy old truck. But he deserved it. He was practically strutting around like their new marriage was something to be proud of, while she was being destroyed from the inside out. Father didn't love her, didn't care about her at all. And this man had helped him to break her heart. But he was kind and had soft eyes, and his lips had been gentle against hers, not demanding, as she'd imagined the first kiss with her mate would have been, especially from a man as big and dangerous-looking as Bruiser. God, what was she doing? All this wishy-washy guilt, and for what? None of it mattered. She didn't matter. As the hurt in his eyes flashed across her mind again, she winced and looked out the window to hide the emotion. The woods here, just like her home with Father in the mountains, were breathtaking. Sure, many of the trees were dead and brown from the beetle infestation, but there was still enough green space that she was awed by the beauty of the wild land. Down in the valley, she got her first glimpse of the Ashland Mobile Park. It was exactly how she'd expected it to be, worn down, ratty homes in a couple of rows, bisected by a dirt road. What did surprise her was that the yards were all perfectly manicured and mowed. Granted, they were 100% weeds and wildflowers, and not the soft Bermuda that graced Father's sizable yard, but at least the bears here seemed to take some pride in their dwellings. "We're home," Bruiser said softly as he pulled in front of a trailer with the number 1010 nailed crookedly beside the dilapidated front door. Without another word, he exited the truck and snatched her suitcase from the back, then stomped up the front stairs and disappeared inside. The unstained and splintering stairs creaked under her footfall as she approached the open doorway. A light flicked on inside, and she stepped into a musty single wide. It was actually much nicer than she'd imagined it would be from the outside. A living area took up most of the main room, and a kitchen adorned with white cabinets and natural wood counters was to the left. When she took a step forward, Her foot sank into a squishy place in the fake wood floors. Lovely. Bruiser had disappeared with her suitcase into a room on the other side of the kitchen, but when she moved to join him, a brown rodent ran across the floor. She narrowed her eyes at the creature and called out, "Bruiser, there's a mouse in here," who was apparently not afraid of people.
"That's Nards," came the muffled reply.
"Nards?"
"Yeah."
Bruiser sauntered back into the kitchen and leaned his hips against the counter by the baby diarrhea-colored sink.
"Nards? Like balls? Look at his giant testicles."
Dennison named him. Of course he did.
"Look, why don't you get off your high horse and be thankful that you'll have a roommate? Now you won't be all alone in here."
"Wait, I thought you were my roommate."
"No, I'm your reluctant and apparently unnecessary husband. That don't mean we have to live together. My trailer is next door on the left if you need anything."
"You don't want to live with me?" She was baffled. Perhaps she'd imagined marriage all wrong.
Maybe it really was just fucking and then going about the day like they didn't know each other. "You just called me a murderer."
He gave a smile that didn't reach his eyes, then dropped the expression. He looked the way she did in the mirror when she practiced being a good dragon. That look on his face blanketed her with a chill.
"It's clear you want to be married about as much as I do. So let's just make this easy on both of us and try to be friends."
"Friends," she repeated low.
"Yeah, like your mom and dad were."
"They weren't friends. They were a business arrangement."
"Sounds familiar."
"You're being insensitive and mean now."
"Or," he growled out, approaching her slowly, "I'm tapping into my mother's dragon lineage and using it as an excuse to say hurtful things."
Touché, big, sexy, irritating, hillbilly bear. DM held her ground as Bruiser invaded her space.
"You can feel, can't you?"
he asked in that husky, deep voice that she was already becoming attuned to. DM blinked slowly, deliberately.
"No."
Bruiser hooked his finger under her chin and lifted. Then he leaned forward, eyes daring her to run, and kissed her. This wasn't like their wedding kiss. It was rougher and felt different. Where their first kiss had brought on a disconcerting tingling sensation between her legs, this one warmed her from the middle downward. His jaw moved as he plunged his tongue into her mouth, and he gripped the back of her head so she couldn't escape. A helpless and mortifying moan escaped her as he eased her against the wall. His hand slipped from her face to her waist, and with a powerful grip, he pulled her hips against his. His hard erection brushed her belly, and her stomach quivered with an anticipation she didn't understand. Breeding with a rutting male wasn't supposed to be pleasurable.
"Now do you feel anything?"
he rasped against her lips as he pulled her knees around his waist and rubbed against a shockingly sensitive place between her thighs.
"No,"
she said on a sigh. He leaned forward and drank her in, teeth grazing her lips. His hands were so strong, holding her up against the wall like this, as if she weighed nothing at all.
"Okay, okay," she murmured, stepping down.
"Okay, you feel something?"
"No."
"Okay, you seem ready. Let's get this over with." His eyes narrowed, but she turned her back on him and kicked off her heels. She padded into the bedroom he'd set her suitcase in and took in the thick blue curtains and queen-size bed. It looked clean enough if she ignored Nards, who marched by her bare foot with a cracker in his mouth. Her hands shook so badly, she clenched and unclenched them before she began unbuttoning her jacket, then her blouse.
"You know," Bruiser said from behind her, "you've used that phrase 3 times today already. Let's get this over with."
"You don't approve?"
"Hell no, I don't approve. What are you doing?"
She shimmied out of her shirt and then pushed her dress pants and panties to the floor. Bruiser crossed his arms and leaned against the doorframe. Closing her eyes tightly in embarrassment, she unhooked her bra on the back and let it fall down her arms. Her knees were knocking, so she settled herself onto the bed and spread her legs wide. Bruiser's eyebrows arched impossibly high as he raked a hungry gaze over every inch of her bare skin. His eyes had gone bright, and a gold-green color that was nothing shy of unsettling.
I repeat, what are you doing?
I'm ready to breed. She looked pointedly at the huge bulge fighting against the seam of his jeans. It looks like you are, too. He scrunched his nose up until the laugh lines by his eyes crinkled.
Breed.
Heat flooded up her neck and burned her cheeks. Fury filled her, and she clapped her knees together, denying him further visual access to her lady bits. Yes, breed. That's what you signed up for when you made this deal with my father. It isn't happily ever after, Bruiser. It's fuck me, get me with child, and move on with your life.
Move on with my life.
His words came out gravelly and low, sending chills up her arms.
You are my life now. I'm not going to breed you, woman. I'm not going to fuck you to have a kid with you. If and when we're together like this, it won't be a let's get this over with kind of moment. I want you begging to have me inside of you and not for some technicality fuck so you can have a little baby dragon. I'm not just a dick.
Yes, you are, she screamed, tears burning her eyes as she sat up and pulled the comforter against her body. Didn't you realize that when you signed the contract for my soul? Didn't you ask my father why he chose you? The poor bastard lumberjack son of Titus Keller? Your mother was a dragon. My father picked a mate based on the probability of us making viable dragon young. Bruiser's face fell utterly blank with shock. Slowly, he shook his head.
I'm not going to fuck you.
Yes, you will. You will, and you'll love it, and then you'll watch me wither away to nothing to have your child. You'll feel bad for a few weeks because of what you had to do. Maybe you'll leave flowers on my grave when you think of me. Then you'll move on like I never existed at all. It's what you do. A sob wrenched from her throat. Males are all the same. Bruiser rushed to her and scooped her into his lap, the mattress creaking under his weight. I don't understand, he whispered against her hair. Dragons aren't like bears, Bruiser. We females live to bear young, and then we die getting them here. Our shifting doesn't turn off when we get pregnant. We have to force ourselves not to shift to protect our unborn babies. We grow weaker and weaker, and then we use the rest of our energy to have the baby. And then we live a day, maybe two, afterward. You didn't agree to marry me, Bruiser. You agreed to kill me. My mother gave her life so that you could live. You didn't murder her. I shouldn't have said that earlier. She chose that sacrifice for the continuation of our kind.
But I'm not a dragon. My animal is from my father.
Unlucky for her. Doesn't matter what kind of baby we grow. The sacrifice will still be the same.
Defeated and drained, her shoulders sagged, and she melted against the hard planes of his chest. For a long time he rocked them, like she was a wee babe in need of comfort.
She would appreciate his kindness for the rest of her life, but it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Bruiser's life was just beginning, while hers was at the end. They didn't match up, like two planets too far out of each other's orbit.
DM. Do you feel anything now?
She smiled as another tear trickled down her cheek. Against his chest, she nodded her head. I'm not like my father. It just hurts too much to hope.
Bruiser pressed his lips against her hair. I'm not going to let you die. I promise.
Chapter 5. Thank you. DM said, as Bruiser handed her a small paper cup of what smelled and looked like sweet red wine. You'll get used to it, Brooke said as DM lifted it to her nose and sniffed. It's not. I'm not trying to be snobby about it. I haven't drank much, so I wouldn't know much of a difference in quality. Brooke rubbed her round belly absently from beside DM on the tailgate of Bruiser's pickup.
Don't let her fool you, Bruiser said with a wink. She's a total snob.
Stop teasing her. This is all a lot to take in. The Alpha's mate swung her blonde hair over her shoulder and leaned back on locked arms. When I first came here, Bruiser was the first one I met. and I thought he was a redneck idiot, and this place was a dump. It grew on me, though. The people here make it impossible not to appreciate the little things about a home like this. The sun was sitting low in the sky, casting pinks and oranges across the mountains. It would be dark.